6.
If you're unsure when to lock in your...
It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning. Welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, your host this morning, and today I'm joined by Kirk Harper, Chairman of the Public Employees Roundtable. Kirk, good morning. Welcome to Fed Talk. Kirk, are you there? All right. And also Amin Senjay of the Partnership for Public Service and Rich Dooley from the Department of Defense. Rich, good morning. Welcome good to morning. Fed Talk.
Thank you for having me.
And Kirk, are you there now? Okay, he will be with us in just a second. We're going to be talking this morning about Public Service Recognition Week 2010, a big celebration about public service. And I'm really hoping that we get Kirk on the line here because he is the chairman of the Public Employees Roundtable. He's basically the force and the energy that has put this together for years and years. And this year, it seems like it's a very special year for public employees because they have once again become a target for some politicians. Kirk, are you with us yet? Okay, he'll be with us in a second. We're having a little technical difficulty here. Amin Senjay from the Partnership for Public Service. Amin, tell us a little bit about what you do with the partnership and specifically with Public Service Recognition Week.
No, sure. Good morning. And thanks for having us. At the Partnership for Public Service, I serve on a communications team as program manager, and the communications team really puts a lot of the staff work into Public Service Recognition Week. The Public Service Recognition Week program once resided over at the Council for Excellence in Government. Last year, it came over to the Partnership for Public Service, where in conjunction with the Public Employees Roundtable, we run all programmatic activities. This year worked really hard with Kirk Harper and with the Public Employees Roundtable to conceive of a new theme and to change all of our collateral. And we're very excited to unveil what we think would be a really exciting program this year.
And just looking at the plans, it looks like it's going to be a phenomenal program. Kirk Harper, are you with us now?
I'm back with you, Bill. Good morning.
Great. It's good to have you on Fed Talk this morning. And, Kirk, I wanted to start the show out a little bit with you as the chairman of the Public Employees Roundtable to talk a little bit about the history of Public Service Recognition Week and some of the reasons why the Public Employees Roundtable was started and just how important that is this year.
Sure, Bill. Thank you. Public Employees Roundtable was started about 25 years ago by a group of people in the Washington area who represented a number of organizations that were made up of public employees mostly at the federal level, who were concerned about the negative image that mostly politicians were trying to pin on the federal government. And this country, of course, has a long history of distrusting government, starting with the colonial days and the revolution. And it's a healthy mistrust of things that people can't do for themselves. But we live in a complex society, and over the last several hundred years, we've developed a government that reflects the complexity of our society. And often it happens that politicians take advantage of this mistrust that's natural and healthy that we have, and they blame public employees for things that go on that they don't like about the way the world works. And So 25 years ago, this group of people said we need to do something to counter some of the negative things that are being said about public employees. So they put together this organization, which was a coalition of in those days, about 30 organizations. And we still have 25 or so of those organizations that participate in various ways. But the celebration has and the activities of Public Employees Roundtable have spread from just a Washington-based organization to something that encompasses people at the state and local level as well. It also works internationally, and the goal is to counter the negative image that people try to sometimes with good intentions to try to place on the people who are carrying out the work of the government's business, the business of the people, in effect.
And those are the public employees, the public servants that that PSRW, Public Service Recognition Week, recognizes, and also Public Employees Roundtable.
This includes the American Military Services, people from the reserves and National Guard from the state level, public school teachers, as well as the people who run county and city governments, the state governments, and the federal government.
And it seems to me, Kirk, that if you look back over time since the founding of the Public Employees Roundtable, that there were times in the mid-90s with the government shutdown and after 9/11 when public employees were held in high regard, but it seems like we've gone the other way in the last year or so, where public employees, particularly federal employees, have become a little bit of a political punching bag.
That's true, and I think the pendulum swings back and forth, sort of depending on the economy and what politicians think people are feeling. They tap into feelings, and lately there's a lot of feeling around in the country that the government is interfering in people's lives, and I think there are a lot of politicians who are more than willing to tap into that.
Rich, from the DOD perspective, you do a great program. If anybody hasn't been down to the mall to see it, they really should come down and see what DOD does, as well as the civilian tent, which Amin is going to talk about here shortly. But could you give me, Rich, a quick overview of what the efforts that DOD goes through to produce a display on the mall and some of the things that those who visit the exhibit might see this year?
Sure, Bill. DOD, as you know, participates in Public Service Recognition Week every year. And we showcase the military services and the defense agencies who provide displays to show not only their peacekeeping and warfighting capabilities, but what they do on a day-to-day basis that enhances the American way of life. So there are displays. The Navy has a display this year known as N-45 or environmental, where they show the green aspects of trying to recycle their efforts. Of course, we've got the Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, and Navy displays, both inside the DOD tent and outside, along with various helicopters and larger combat equipment.
Can members of the public actually go on some of that equipment and actually take a very close look at it?
They can. They're very welcome. We have an M1 main battle tank that the folks are welcome to go inside, a Stryker armored vehicle, and also the helicopters, and it's a very hands-on display.
I know. Well, DOD does a great job every year of bringing out the most interesting things that the military has to offer, and brings it, I think, close to the American people. And I know, Rich, you've been involved in that for a number of years. And any special challenges this year that you're trying to overcome?
No, actually, the more I do it, the easier it seems to get. The Park Service, of course, is always one that steps up and assists us in making sure that this comes off in a safe and in a manner that the public will certainly have a good time at. And I'd like to give a little credit to them for what they do and how they work with us in putting this together.
All right. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm talking to Amin Senche, Kirk Harper, and Rich Dooley about Public Service Recognition Week 2010. We'll be right back.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford. We're talking about Public Service Recognition Week 2010. If you have any questions or a comment, if you'd like to join in our discussion, give us a call. Toll free 1-877-936-9333 or email us your questions at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, I mean, we have talked a little bit about why we have Public Service Recognition Week, about how important it is to recognize public employees, about what the Department of Defense does. Let's talk about when and where and you know, what's going on with Public Service Recognition Week this year.
Public Service Recognition Week, as you know, is the first full week of May. So it's May 3rd through the 9th this year, and we're so excited just to be at the helm with the Public Employees Roundtable and putting together this year's festivities. As Kirk mentioned, Public Service Recognition Week really is a nationwide celebration. So we're very excited that we have partners in federal executive boards throughout the country celebrating Public Service Recognition Week, as well as state capitals and local mayors as well. Here in Washington, D.C., however, our capstone celebration remains the National Mall exhibit, where civilian and military agencies give the public a behind-the-scenes view of what they do. And I think that it's always special, so we encourage everyone to come out. The National Mall exhibit runs for 4 days, so it starts on May 6th, which is the Thursday of Public Service Recognition Week, and ends on May 9th, that Sunday, which coincidentally is Mother's Day as well.
It's always Mother's Day.
It's always Mother's Day, but we do encourage all listeners to come down with their moms on Sunday to see the exhibits.
And it's the weather is always perfect.
The weather is always perfect. It's a perfect week in May here in Washington, but it really is pleasant. This year we have over 100 civilian and military agencies exhibiting for the public, and we're really excited about it. Agencies like the Department of State and others that haven't participated in quite some time have come back because of this interest in showing the public exactly what it is that they do. This year we're very pleased to announce that we have a new theme. It's government innovation and opportunity. And we think with this theme, we really can do some creative stuff. On the innovation side, we can talk about the programming and the initiatives that different federal agencies have that really are cutting edge, that the public probably doesn't know a whole lot about. And on the opportunity side, we can help publicize job and careers in federal agencies for those job seekers in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
And, I mean, tell us a little bit about how somebody goes to this event. I mean, how do, it's
sure.
down on the mall.
If you
want to see it, I mean, it's a big tent, right?
The National Mall exhibit is right smack in the middle of the National Mall. It's America's front yard, so we think that this is the perfect location for an activity of this sort. We're between 4th and 7th Streets Northwest, and we're right in front of the National Air and Space Museum. So that's the directions that I usually give people. If you're coming down via Metro, there are three Metro stops that are close by. We have the Lafon Plaza Metro stop, we have the Navy Archives stop, and then we have Smithsonian as well. Once again, the exhibits open to the public on Thursday, May 6th, and run through Sunday, May 9th.
And I've noticed the signs advertising the event on Metro and buses throughout the Washington area.
Yeah,
so it's getting a lot of publicity this year.
We're getting a lot of publicity. That was made possible through GSA, the General Services Administration. They partnered with us to get those public service advertisements, and we're very excited about that. I also would like to encourage all listeners to check out our website to learn more information about Public Service Recognition Week. It's www.publicservicerecognitionweek.org.
All right. And a little bit about outside the metropolitan area. I know, Kirk, for all of the time that you've been involved with Public Employees Roundtable, that's always been a goal to get the celebration outside Washington out to the rest of the country. Tell us a little bit about how that's gone in the past, those efforts, and what we're doing this year.
Bill, we've been successful, I think, in spreading the celebration beyond the Washington area by partnering, as Amin said, with the federal executive boards and the federal executive associations in the cities where the federal government has a big presence. But we've also involved governors and mayors and got their participation to celebrate with their employees. A number of governors issue proclamations talking about Public Service Recognition Week and recognizing their employees. A number of mayors do the same thing. Here in the county where I live on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. Public Service Recognition Week is celebrated in all of the Talbot County public schools. Teachers are recognized, and they have some events, but they declare that this is Public Service Recognition Week this first week in May, and I think it makes the teachers feel appreciated, and it lets the kids know that there are other people who know what's going on in the schools and respect their teachers, and the word, I think, trickles back to at least some of the families that way.
And Rich, you know, you were talking about that M1 tank being on the mall, the helicopters. Are you able to just fly those things in there, and does that present any logistical challenges for you?
Bill, we do fly them in there, and we fly them out. These are actual helicopters that are used by the Marine Corps, the Air Force. We're going to have a D.C. National Guard Lakota Light helicopter there this year for the first time. And with the help of the FAA and the folks that need to clear the airspace there, we've been able to get them in there every year. The M1 tank is trucked in usually from a depot, and it'll be ready for visitors first thing on Thursday morning when we open.
I keep thinking about that green grass on the mall, and I know from my experiences in the Army, those tanks sometimes would chop up things like that. I'm sure you've got a way of getting it in there so the Park Service doesn't get too upset.
We do. As a matter of fact, the D.C. Government lets us close down part of 4th Street so that we can put all the tracked vehicles that would do exactly that, tear the National Mall up, which is what we don't want to do. So we display those on 4th Street when it's blocked off.
Okay, and I think it's really important for our listeners to recognize just how impressive this Department of Defense facility. I mean, you have representatives from every branch of the service?
We do.
And I remember going through it a few years ago and seeing some of the current people and some of the units I served with in the Army, and it was just really nice to see that. People really want to show the American people what they do every day.
It's one of the joys I have during the year, because I'm retired Army, and getting to see the young troops, especially the ones that have done several tours overseas now, and who come out and are just a joy to talk to, that love what they do, and I am so impressed with them.
All right, Amin, can you talk just a little bit about what kind of special things you've got this year for the celebration on the mall, which is, I I think probably right now occupying most of your time.
it's an effort that requires all hands on decks, but we have lots of different specific activities going on in the mall that we'd like to share with you as well. So as we mentioned before, we open the National Mall exhibits on Thursday, May 6th, and we actually start with a rally at noontime. So we're asking federal employees to join us on the mall at noon on May 6th for a federal employee rally. As you know, Public Service Recognition Week is a time to say thank you to our public employees and the federal, state, and local level for all that they do on our behalf every day. And we're very pleased to announce that we have an honorary co-chair for Public Service Recognition Week, Secretary Sebelius from the Department of Health and Human Services, who'll be joining us on the mall at noon on May 6th to really kick off the exhibits with a rally thanking public employees for all that they do.
So you're hoping to get a lot of federal employees who work around the mall to come over on their lunch hour.
We'd love it. We're inviting them to bring their lunch down to the mall and to hang out with us for a bit. We're going to have the Navy rock band Max Impact down there. They're awesome. I like them a lot. So they're going to provide some entertainment, and it's going to be really festive. It's going to be something that's going to be fun and just light, reminding public employees that they are valued and just thanking them for what they do. Some other activities of interest include Students' Day, which is happening on the following day, Friday, May 7th. We're inviting area schools to come down to the National Mall to learn more about the exhibits and what government does. And we're really focusing on kids from elementary school up to high school. We're inviting them down so they can get a behind-the-scenes view
as well. And you do get a lot of students who come to that.
Yeah, we do. And it's something that's fun for all of us, just seeing the joy on the little kids' face when they, you know, see the tanks and the helicopters. They get really excited. And, you know, we're all kids at heart. So that's always fun. And seeing the older kids, you know, have their aha moments, if you will, when they consider careers in federal government and just think about opportunities that may exist for them. So it's a special day, and we're asking students to come down on that Friday to join us. We also have on Saturday, May 8th, Jobs Day, and that program is new this year.
And I've heard about a lot of these job fairs, particularly for federal employment. Good. Pretty big lines. And do you expect something like that?
Well, we certainly hope so. So what we're going to do is to have different panels on the mall on that Saturday. And they're going to comprise of HR specialists from different federal agencies talking about openings that they have. They're going to be organized by mission critical occupation areas. So we have an environment and a green jobs panel. We also have international affairs panel and program management and administration, and there's some others as well. So if you are a job seeker in a metropolitan area, you can come down, you can learn more from these agencies that have these openings. You can ask questions directly to HR representatives and get some one-on-one, you know, FaceTime and counseling to find out how you can be a successful applicant. So we think that in this current economic environment, that this is really building a bridge between the job seeker and the federal agencies that have opportunities. And we're very excited to have this new program this year.
And Kirk, could you give our listeners a little bit of an idea of just the scope of how big this celebration is in Washington now compared to how it started out years ago and how it's grown every year? And I really would like to encourage people to go see the exhibits because they are very impressive.
Well, the in our last board meeting, one of the representatives of Coalition for Effective Change, Roz Kleeman, talked about attending the first mall event, and she was laughing, telling us that there was no shelter, there was no tent, there were just a few exhibitors and a gaggle of people around and a bunch of signs, and it's amazing to think how it's progressed. Now we have giant tents that are erected by a tent company. They're tents are weatherproof. They're air conditioned. At least one of the biggest tent is air conditioned. The military has a huge tent that contains all of their activities that need to be out of the weather, and the military has even more area outside the tents where they have all the vehicles and the other exhibits that Rich mentioned. It is a huge undertaking, and it's probably with 100 different agencies, civilian and military, exhibiting. It's almost impossible, I think, for a person in the course of a couple of hours or 3 hours to see everything. It really is an immense undertaking, and Amin and Rich should be congratulated for all the work they do to pull this off. It's an immense thing.
Okay, we're going to stop here for a break. We'll continue our discussion with Kirk Harper, Amin Sinjai, and Rich Dooley about PSRW 2010. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. When you say that you work for the federal government, many people out there immediately picture you wearing a suit, driving a government-issue sedan, and living in D.C. While that may be true for some, in reality, federal employees have a wider variety of jobs than most people could ever imagine, from postal workers to CIA agents, from working in an office to working in outer space. These jobs are all so different that it's hard to believe they have something in common, but they do. And that similarity is GEICO. As employees of the federal government, many of these people may be eligible for additional discounts on top of GEICO's already low rates. And just because the cost is lower doesn't mean that GEICO's service is anything less than top rate. So whether you're in animal control or air traffic control, call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO. Or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm joined today by Kirk Harper of the Public Employees Roundtable, Amin Sinjai from the Partnership for Public Service, and Rich Dooley from DOD to talk about the Public Service Recognition Week celebration coming up May 3rd through 9th, 2010, when we're spending a lot of time talking about the, I think as you called it, Amin, the capstone, the celebration on the National Mall. If you would like to be a part of our discussion today, please call us 1-877-936-9333. That's a toll-free number. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So, Amin, you get a lot of federal agencies that want to come show themselves to the American people?
We do. Our count for civilian agencies is now at 62. So we're very excited about that. Some of the agencies that you can expect to see on the National Mall when you come down include the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Within the Department of Commerce, you have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives with the Department of Justice. You have the Secret Service with Homeland Security. I think I mentioned before that the Department of State's going to be there along with USAID, which will be really fun to have the international perspective. And we have a host of others. So the U.S. Geological Survey with the Department of Interior. We have the Department of Veterans Affairs, which I think is extremely timely with all of our veterans returning from overseas. And I always love the exhibits with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They're bringing the People's Garden this year.
The People's Garden, what is that?
The People's Garden, I think, is a display that encourages individuals in the public to plant their own fruits and vegetables and shows them like the easy ways that they can do it, even if they don't have lots of space and lots of land. So that's something that's always pretty fun and interesting. And there are a number of programs that that I think will be super interesting. As you can imagine, I do this, year in and year out, but I'm always excited to see what comes down to the mall myself. There's going to be a Computers for Learning program that ensures that all children have opportunities to learn more about computers and online technologies. That's coming in with the General Services Administration. The Veterans Affairs Department, they're going to have a display on what they do to treat post-traumatic stress disorder for women veterans that are returning. And everything down to radiation protection and transportation safety with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So lots of fun stuff. We encourage everyone to come down and to join us on the mall to learn more.
And I know in prior years, I'm not sure if they're going to be here this year, but we've had Woodsy Owl and Smokey the Bear and astronauts.
They're back. We love having federal mascots and icons down on the National Mall. We think that they're some of the better known federal employees, so we make sure that they're on the mall each year. We do have Woodsy Owl, Smokey Bear, we have McGruff, the crime dog.
I'm Uncle sure there are others.
Uncle Sam and Samantha.
Uncle Sam comes from OPM, actually.
He does, and he brings his wife along with him and Samantha, which is pretty fun. And this year we're going to have some new ones. We have Franklin, the Fair Housing Fox, is coming from HUD, and Mr. Zip from the U.S. Postal Service. So we're going to have some of those mascots and icons down on the mall. We also are going to have an astronaut down on the mall and some other heroes, as we're calling them. So, patrol agents with Customs and Border Protection. We're going
to
have...
Yeah, those are the ones I like to see. They have their dogs, some of them.
Yeah, they do. So Customs and Border Protection, they bring their dogs and do displays. The kids love them, and so do the adults. And the U.S. Marshals Service will also be bringing some dogs. It's a fun time. You learn more about your government. You learn about opportunities. And you just get to, have fun with your fellow citizens on a nice spring day in Washington. We encourage everyone to come on down.
And like you said, the weather is going to be great. Rich, a little bit more about some of the DOD exhibits. You've talked about the M1 tank and the helicopters and all that, but are some of the troops that are going to be there doing special demonstrations, some of the technology, like night vision devices, things like that? Will people be able to take a look at that?
Absolutely. We will have night vision devices down there, displays of equipment that the services use. We have a separate tent for the U.S. Special Operations Command that come down with their special forces units and display their special categories of materials that they use for peacekeeping and warfighting.
Tell me a little bit more about the Special Operations Division, what somebody would see there.
Special Operations Command is out of MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa, Florida, and they deal with joint special operations, which are the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps Special Operations Forces. They will see the Air Force rescue personnel that will go in and rescue folks that are stranded in combat situations. They'll see the Army Special Forces, better known as the Green Beret, the Army Rangers, and Navy SEALs.
One of the things, and I'll ask you this, Rich, that I would really be interested in seeing is something I saw on the news after I watched the movie The Hurt Locker. I saw an actual an IED actually being defused while the news camera was showing it. Is that something like how do you deal with IEDs? And because it's an incredible job to have if you're in the military. Very dangerous, I would think. Very, very stressful.
It is, and we will actually have folks that that work with explosives ordnance disposal there that will show different type of mine clearing devices and mine detecting devices.
Okay, so there's a lot of good things to see. One of the things that I think you're doing special this year, is on Sunday, I think you're going to be doing something for the troops in Iraq
and
Afghanistan, I think, right, for both places.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Usually on Sunday, the military only exhibits, and this year we thought that we should do something, very special for the troops. So we conceived of this service project, which we think is going to be a great complement to the military exhibits on that Sunday, where members of the public can stop by and they can write letters to active duty troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're very happy to announce that we're partnering with Pitney Bowes on that project. So, you know, it's something that's new for us, but it's something that we're very pleased to be able to do, and we're looking forward to it. So,
how do you think it will work? I mean, describe it, the operation of that.
So you come on down to the mall, and you tour the military exhibits, and then where the civilian exhibits would have been on days prior. And, you know, you'll see a whole bunch of staff members and volunteers with tables and pens, encouraging you to come over and to write letters to the troops. We have special stock. We have stations for adults and stations for kids. So for the kids, there'll be construction paper and crayons and glitter and things like that, so they can do a special letter for active duty troops. And after the Public Service Recognition Week is completed, Pitney Bowes will provide the postage to send those letters over to the troops and to thank them for their service. So we're going to be on the mall with this letter writing campaign to active duty service members from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on that Sunday, May 9th.
All right. And you talked a minute, just a few minutes ago, about the jobs day on Saturday. Do you expect that people will actually be able to go there and perhaps get a job at a federal agency?
Well, we certainly hope so. But we do want to make sure that we temper expectations. So there won't be interviews on the mall per se. But what we're doing is giving individuals in the public, job seekers, an opportunity to learn more. So we have a number of agencies that plan to come down and to speak with the public. And what we're asking is that people come with questions for those agencies. They'll know in advance the agencies that are coming down to the mall and the job and some of the jobs that are available. So you come as a job seeker to learn more, to ask HR representatives that actually have to cull through resumes and applications, how you can be a successful applicant, exactly what these agencies are looking for in terms of knowledge, skills, abilities, and those types of things. And next steps moving forward. The federal employee is a huge employer here in the Washington, D.C. area and obviously throughout the country. And there are a number of jobs due to retirements and a change in mission, I would imagine, that the federal government is seeking to fill within the next 4 to 5 years. And what we're trying to do is to make that connection for job seekers. We're trying to give them an opportunity to learn more.
And when people come down and they find out from the different agencies what they're looking for, will they also be able to talk to people from OPM to figure out the best way to use the USA Jobs Network and actually follow up on? You know, and I say that because I know the Partnership for Public Service has been very interested in improving the federal hiring process. Well, will this actually make it easier for someone to get a federal job, do you think?
Oh, we certainly hope so. The Office of Personnel Management, as you know, is in the midst of just revamping the hiring process. And I do believe that we should be hearing shortly, any day now, what that new process looks like. But in the meantime, we do hope that this will make it easier for job seekers to understand a little bit better how to fill out a federal application and what things that they should consider while doing so. So again, on Saturday, May 8th, the panels include international affairs, medical and public health, security and compliance, administration and program management, and energy and environment.
Yeah, one of the things about Public Employees Roundtable and Public Service Recognition Week, it's always been a time to recognize those federal employees, public employees who've gone above and beyond. And I know, Kirk, you know, Public Employees Roundtable used to do that with something called the Breakfast of Champions, but that's kind of evolved now to, but we still recognize exceptional public employees. Can you talk a little bit about that, Kirk?
Now that the Public Employees Roundtable is part of the Partnership for Public Service, we participate with the Partnership for Public Service in celebrating their Service to America medals. And they will announce the semifinalists of the Service to America medals during Public Service Recognition Week. And it's a wonderful program. The semifinalists will be honored at a luncheon, I believe, and then the finalist will be chosen later in the fall. The SANES program has been going on now for about 8 years, and it recognizes people across the federal government who have made extraordinary contributions, and it really is a tremendously impressive group of people. I remember last year's recognition during Public Service Recognition Week, there were people who had solved huge medical problems. There were scientific employees who had pushed forward the frontiers of science in remarkable ways, most of which I couldn't understand actually what they were doing. It was you can listen to it described, but it's so complex that I'm not sure I could even repeat it. But that's the way we have our recognition of public employees has evolved. It's we've gone through a number of different ways of doing that. We find this one uses the incredible strengths of public partnership for public service, and it's a very effective way. It gets a lot of publicity. Actually, for the finalists, for the people who were actually selected, the partnership produces a video about them and their lives, and those videos are available on websites. They're shown on the Hill. They're shown on television occasionally, and so it's a very effective way to recognize public employees.
We're going to stop now to hear a word from our sponsor. When we return, we'll wrap up our discussion about PSRW 2010. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this. If you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to GEICO. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with GEICO once they've switched. In fact, on average, GEICO customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is the last segment of our show. So if you'd like to talk to us about Public Service Recognition Week, offer a comment. For our guests, please give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333, or you can send us an email at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. I mean, one of the new things this year, I think, is you have this job shadowing program that I've heard about. Tell me a little bit about that.
Job shadowing is brand new. It's an exciting program that we're able to implement with a partnership with the Junior Achievement Organization of the National Capital Area. Junior Achievement works with students all around the country, really, but here in the Washington, D.C. area in the district in Maryland and Virginia. As part of this job shadowing program, we asked federal agencies whether they would host juniors in high school for one day during Public Service Recognition Week to learn more about what these agencies do and to get a first-hand view of the typical day, like the average day at an agency. We're very pleased with the response that we've gotten from federal agencies. The Department of Defense is hosting a number of students, as is a number of other agencies here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Agencies such as the Department of Justice, NASA, the Department of Energy, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and others. So we're going to have a couple hundred students from the area tour and spend time with workplace mentors for one day to learn more about federal service. And we're very excited to add this to the list of programs that we have this year.
And it seems to me, Amen, that kind of ties into the the student day and the whole idea of giving young people a good impression about public service to hopefully attract them into public service themselves.
I think so. We know through research that that students, they think earlier and earlier about careers. And what we want to do is to give them an option. We want to let them know that if they want to do a number of different things, that the public sector has some options for them as well. As a matter of fact, we're actually encouraging some of the students that will be taking part in the job shadowing program to come down to the mall after they're finished touring the agencies and after they're finished learning more from their workplace mentors. So we're very excited. It's kind of hand in hand with what we're doing for Jobs Day and Students Day, and we think that it adds a lot.
And Amen, you have a lot of people helping. You have DOD, you have all these agencies, but you have other folks that you partner with. Can you talk a little bit about, it's not just the Partnership for Public Service and the Public Employees Roundtable. Who else helps you put on Public Service Recognition Week?
We are pleased that we have corporate support every year. This year, our two big corporate sponsors are Lockheed Martin and Accenture. And so we'd like to thank them for their support and for their help. Pitney Bowes, as I mentioned before, is helping us with the service project on Sunday. So we'd like to thank them as well. We rely on some corporate support for this event. And we think that, it's great for these private sector organizations to show their support for public employees during this time of year. Other than our corporate sponsors, we work with federal executive boards and federal executive associations all around the country. And we also work with some unions and some of the Big Seven organizations. So
what's a Big Seven organization?
Well, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, National Governors Association, and state legislature organizations.
People that help get the message out to the country, not just to keep it in Washington.
That's right.
Now, I know that when I was working with Kirk years ago on Public Service Recognition Week, we spent a lot of time with our website trying to get the word out, and we actually had ways of having people come to the website and get the posters and other information about how to put on a celebration. Do you still do that? And if you do, how does somebody find that information?
We do, and our website, our web address is www.publicservicerecognitionweek.org. So we encourage everyone to really to take a visit and to look at all of the resources that we have on there.
You want to give that web address again?
Sure. It's www.publicservicerecognitionweek.org. When you go on the website, you'll be able to see, you'll have access to a number of resources, such as a How to Celebrate kit that tells you fun and low-cost ways to have a celebration wherever you are. You'll have sample proclamations if you wanted to request a proclamation in your local area from elected officials. We also have helpful hints as to how you may write a letter to the editor or an op-ed to your local papers. We also have posters and other tools that will be, I think, incredibly helpful while putting on celebrations wherever you are. Two new additions to our website this year are a page where you can let us know what you're doing outside of Washington, D.C. It's a state activities tab. We have a map of the United States on there where we're hoping to collect information of celebrations throughout the country. And also our Give Thanks page. Our Give Thanks page is where we're encouraging members of the public to just go and write a quick note of thanks to public employees wherever they are or share a story about why they went into public service in the first place. We think that those are two really great additions.
And that's part of what you do, Amen, with Public Service Recognition Week, is to get these proclamations from not just people in Washington, but from around the country.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have we're close to 100 proclamations right now from around the country.
We're still working on that.
So we're still working on it. We get some in every day here in Washington. We have We get proclamations from the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. The president supports Public Service Recognition Week by issuing a letter just thanking public employees for their service and in celebration of PSRW. So we take care of proclamations here in the national capital area, and we also encourage others to help us get proclamations wherever they may be outside Washington.
Okay, and a little bit more of this federal executive board involvement. That's new this year, isn't it?
Well, we have worked with them in the past, but this year what we've done is to give them more resources to have celebrations where they are. We have federal executive boards in a number of large metropolitan areas, such as Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Baltimore, and really, it gives the federal employees in those areas an opportunity to band together to create celebrations for Public Service Recognition Week, and also to do some of the types of things that we do here in Washington, D.C., to engage students, to engage community and civic groups, to tell them a little bit more about why they serve. And we think that that's incredibly powerful. So federal executive boards have been a great partner this year, and we hope to build that partnership in the future.
And to get the message throughout the country.
Yep.
Kirk, a little bit about how this is just something that's done for federal employees. It transcends politics, particularly partisan politics, and it's just designed to let these employees know that they're appreciated, and also lets the American people know of what their contributions. But I've heard you talk about that before, so I'd like to hear you kind of maybe wrap up our show with a discussion about that.
Bill, the purpose for the formation of Public Employees Roundtable was to do three things: to recognize public employees and the roles they play in making the United States a civilized place to live. It's amazing how little information people have about what public employees do, and our goal was to give some recognition to those people, let average citizens know that what their neighbors could be doing if they work for the federal government. And to educate the public more about the roles that these folks play. The second thing we wanted to do was to celebrate public service itself, and to say this is an honorable calling, and the people who have chosen to make their careers in public service have made a truly wonderful selection. There are fabulous careers in the federal government. Very, very satisfying things to do, cutting-edge science, innovative ways of solving problems, very, very satisfying careers in the military and in civilian agencies, international agencies with like the State Department.
Kirk, we're almost out of time, so I would like to just spend the last 15 seconds or so with Amin repeating when Public Service Recognition Weekend is and a little bit about it.
Sure. So Public Service Recognition Week, it's the first full week of May, May 3rd through the 9th, on the National Mall. You can join us to learn more about the exhibits of over 100 federal agencies, both civilian and military, from May 6th through the 9th. Learn more at publicservicerecognitionweek.org.
Okay, thank you to Rich Dooley, Kirk Harper, and Amin Senche for today's show. Tune in again for Fed Talk, brought to you by Shaw, Bransford, and Roth.